Chuck, give him the bridge. Chuck, give him the shank, but no Jim Shoe deal.
This is The Poet and the Poem from the Library of Congress. We're on remote. I am Grace Cavalieri, and with me is Thomas Sayers Ellis. And the music you heard is his music, the music that we came in on. Thomas, tell us a little bit about what we just heard.
What you heard was a poem called Chucktown. It was made into a song by Heroes of the Gang Leaders. We did it as a tribute to Chuck Brown, sort of just trying to talk about and explore the ways that Chuck is everywhere. Chuck is sort of unofficial mayor, unofficial energy, unofficial presence, and a major influence of the inner city.
Oh, really? Your work is a testament to all the people who are in Go-Go World, which you call a gathering of community. Thomas Sayers Ellis is really a man of all seasons. He can just do everything. So I'm holding a new book in my hand, and it's called What? Crank-Shaped Notes, Arrowsmith Press. What's in this book, Thomas?
It's a collection of notes, of course, and thoughts. I wanted to do a book about DC that sort of brought the language, history of the language and history of the land, the District of Columbia, into sort of conflict and collaboration with each other. Mm. So it's photographs, it's poems, it's prose. It's me sort of trying to destroy or eliminate all those sort of false boundaries between in life, in genre, in art.
That's what you do. I call you the great innovator. You do break down all the boundaries in art. And out of that, rising from the ashes, something we never hear before. So read us a little something from the book, Crank-Shaped Notes.
This is note number 75. All that has happened within our city, socially and politically, repeats the beat of itself in the pocket, in patterns, plaguing the pleasure of go-go. The looks may change, but the faces, the ones you don't know you know, are familiar. First a mob, then a team, then a squad. But still a family only retired around the edges, where the percussive life of service and most inner city hates hides itself, revealing again that evil has no home-trained district body or building. That evil is its own live show, incubated in the silence of savior inquiry, nightly, near the PA, near his prayer.
This book is a compendium of prose and essays, poetry, photographs. I wish it were visual here. Can you just try to tell the people a little bit about your photographs? These are verite, real people caught in the act of breathing and living. And I know you have a book out in Mexico of photographs. I know you had a big one-man show in Italy. Tell us about the photographs in this book.
What I try to do with the camera is make it disappear. I mean, I try to make it a part of my body or the body of the subject. And if I can get it in between us, and specifically in terms of go-go, if I know the sound or know where the sort of percussive rest or percussive crescendos are going to land, I can get the camera right in that spot and snap. And the life is the life there, the life between life, the life that would naturally disappear in a regular conversation between people sort of happens. But it takes a lot of trust, and it takes a lot of being comfortable with, I guess you could say, getting in the way.
It is. Well, I told you to consolidate, but I wish that we had an hour on your photographs. You know, I just want to say this very sincerely, Thomas. They will last longer than we will. These photographs, you have caught life in action. You have caught the average person in the act. Some dramatic events as well, because I saw one photograph of a man lying down in the reflection pool and you taking a photograph and then
exactly.
Was he revived?
He was revived. He survived. He had a stroke.
It's interesting. You were just there. You just happened to be there?
I just happened to be there having lunch, sitting on the bench. I just left the Library of Congress. I sat there and he seemed to almost be imitating the dome behind him. Him as dome, as rotunda, and dome as rotunda or as person. And it just seemed to be such a commentary on that distance between people in public institutions that I couldn't resist. You know, there it was.
You know what to see, don't you? You're always looking, you're always noticing, you're always watching. Let's have another piece from your book, Crank-Shaped Notes. This is Thomas Sayers Ellis, who is America's artist.
Stick bag perspective, number one. A pair of slim lengths, born and raised in the District of Columbia, D.C., not Washington, D.C. Sticks that feel and think and speak percussively from being beaten and from being used to beat. Sticks that became a name. Sticks used to write. The sticks I am the beat, the wooden go-between. Use me, I get used, held, handled, and hurled against the sound of making, against the sound making of hurt. Use me the way junkyard use me. I won't wither, won't splinter. Skinny, very skinny. Bones in the skin skinny for years and then made smooth and fast, rolled fast and sharp mentally and emotionally. Sharp enough to fit in the spaces between chrome rims and curves. Sharp enough to fit in the avenue like angles and ideas where the intellect, like the streets in their classroom confined corners, were often as loud as the sun reflecting off a pair of marching trolling cymbals. Not a whispered traffic like the kind created by a journalist or a sip of gossip or a snitch. Not mere telling, but the active, healthy thing that comes from motion and gives birth via sound, becoming physical, then flesh, spreading itself thin enough to become liquid, then breath. The atmosphere to what we know as stance, style, and exchange, where to be at the beat, a heart, where to morph or to be formed, the heat, a head with eyes in it, ideas in it, dreams that survive their own dead ideas.
Thomas Sayers Ellis from the book Crank-Shaped Notes. The sticks, that is something you pick up as a theme throughout the book. Is that an artistic decision where they pop up all the time? And is it about your percussion? Is it about your place in the band, in the world, as a percussionist?
Yeah, it's about all those things. I think it was Vincent Van Gogh that said that all art is autobiographical. So in the way that I'm making a book about DC, I'm also sprinkling it with aspects of self-portraiture. Mm-hmm. And my nickname growing up was Sticks.
Oh.
And that led me as a percussionist, as a drummer who used sticks to explore early on the etymology of the word sticks, how sticks can be used, what they mean for writing in the way that I became writing. And even what they look like while they're being used, that writing in the air. So yes, it's all those things.
What were you like as a child?
Shy, quiet. I thought that, well, if I don't stop being shy and quiet, nothing will happen in my life. Mm. So I probably forced myself into many uncomfortable situations that came out comfortable to make myself be a part of all of this. But I'm probably still 20% very shy.
But you don't, I think that shyness goes away when you become a performer, right?
Something I'm nervous. Yeah, true. Once I'm on stage, once I'm surrounded by whatever the everything is, but I'm nervous up until the moment we get on the stage.
Whatever the everything is, I want an MRI of your brain. I really do, because it connects all the unconnectables. But you are fearless. Are you fearless?
I am now. I think I've been fearless. You know, it's a strange thing. I remember when Barack Obama was running for president, there was a story about him losing his mother. And I remember thinking, because I was very close to my mom, she was me, that perhaps once a particular type of man, and not necessarily a mama's boy, loses his mother, he can do anything.
What a remark.
And I thought that was my cue to live a little, not harder, but with that inside me being more alert and alive. So I'm fearless because of that. And my mom was very shy as well.
This is a profound remark, really. I have to think a lot about it. While I'm doing that, read us a bit more, please, from Crankshake Notes. I just want everyone to know something. You are a poet, a photographer, a musician, a memoirist. I think a man of all seasons. I don't think there is an area of the arts that you have not excelled in. It's really scary. But now go ahead and read.
Cowbell King for Lloyd Ashley Pinchback. Held upside down and played low. I don't think he ever raised it higher than his open heart-shaped face or his closed fish-shaped heart. Oh, earth salt of the poor regions where the folks that live close to the ground could experience it. Nor did he ever bang it like neophytes do near the library drum of his congressional ear. Not even to deafen Judas. Not even to depopulate the pockets bar of drinkers of justice, which is why no photographer, camera-wise enough to sink pigment, hue and cry, ever needed a flash to chart the royal resonance of his signature, sun king to sun skin inner kinships, a performance worth of mourning in his profile, side view from the flute, stick against cow, as legally blind as the calm pattern rain of available light flowing through the arteries of the burgundy room, the amount of oxygen in each vessel determining the integrity of blood cells. The blood cells are notes, a percussive thing as a thunderstorm in a rotunda, in a stone circle, at a round table of churches falling through the showers of Category 5 cathedrals, new life, hitting itself to disguise itself as the end of life in a new skin to tenderly begin.
To tenderly begin. Thomas Sayers Ellis co-founded the Dark Room Collective in 1989, and Heroes Are Gang Leaders in 2014. That's a free jazz literary band of musicians and writers who were awarded the American Book Award for Oral Literature in 2018. Let's hear a little bit of that group now.
We run down front, scream and shout, hell no! We ain't ready to go.
We ain't ready to go.
We ain't ready to go.
They take your head.
Okay, tell us about what we've just heard. That was a performance and energy. Where was that performed?
That was performed at Hallwalls in Buffalo, New York.
And who are these people in this literary collective? Are they always the same people, the horn players, the singers, or do you change it up?
They're pretty much always the same so that we can, you know, sort of gel together and create a community that sort of knows each other. But since it's improvisational as well, every now and then, you know, there'll be a flute or a guitarist or an extra vocalist or something like that. But it was co-founded by James Brandon Lewis, the tenor saxophone, and myself. Mm. And so we pretty much got a core since 2015.
And you've put out CDs too.
Yeah, we've got five currently. We have five releases and we have a sixth one coming this spring.
There must be 100 of you, really. So do you work in a studio to make the CDs?
We record the CDs in professional studios. They're engineered and mixed and distributed. And you can play them on Spotify or, you know, buy them in certain records, you know, record stores, etc.
Heroes Are Gang Leaders, and those horns are really magnificent. And also, what your verbal interludes, are they planned or do you just have an open book of poems and just utter?
Since I'm the band leader, which I play the role a bit of a carnival barker, my commentary is mostly improvised. Mm. But when we're in a song, we have actual lyrics, original work, or if we're doing something by June Jordan or Baraka, we try to recontemporize it. We do the foundation of their ideas and extend it to now.
Extended to now. That's your middle name, Extended to Now. Mm-hmm. So let's hear a bit more from Crank Shaped Notes, Aerosmith Press, just out this year.
This is note number 193. It's called Killer Cow. And it's a portrait of a local DC rapper that for a long time has been a sort of struggle between the position of lead talker versus hip hop rapper in DC. And Killer Cow is one of the people, not the first, but one of the people who's been able to combine that position and get DC some respect, sort of in the rap, go some respect in the rap game, so to speak. He's with the band called Rare Essence. Killer Cow. The skill to kill all ill clowns who think they own the crown. Cow, a killer. Verbal slaughter in the pillow. Flower bed stiller. Words buried alive. Wake, woke. Riding by alphabets in a rhyme, kill C. A cavalry of grammar artillery, armed, all in all. Rare what? Bama's died. Air Cal arrived. Ascend to tax the ground. Azilla, the animal. Lick the laughter. Call the killer. Call her on hold. Call waiting. Cal busy. Melting haters. The skill to kill all ill clowns who think they own the crowd. Stem cell syllables. Lyrical appendectomy. Most dictionary definitions, nosebleed from his trigger, killer city, killer sightseer, tour guide caught doing the killer, killer calories, la la la, la la la, cow tolerates lactose freestyle rants, reversed, spit the milk out the cereal, cereal killer, killer calcium for all microphone victims, busted lips, villa rebuilder, thriller bit Manila, trophies near the ropes, first place tropes, the skill to kill all ill crowds who think they own the caliber, an enterprise crowned by success and natural causes.
Natural causes, Thomas Sayers Ellis. You know, I only learned about the rap world from this book. I was on top of jazz in D.C. for quite a while, but yeah. I didn't know that there was so much rap that was predominant here.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, I really was out of it until this book says a lot about that. And just define what go-go means for everyone.
The term go-go itself means to continue, right, to keep going. It's usually hyphenated. I wanted Crank-Shaped Notes to remove the hyphen, to take it into, to remove the bridge that it doesn't need. It's to make the flow lyrical and continuous. Go-go is a percussive interlude that exists between songs or between grooves to connect them so that there's news, talk, exchange between the audience and the bandstand.
Oh, is that actually a professional term?
It is only as professional as the genre is now the DC genre of it, where it's built and born, is making
itself.
But
did you create it? Were you the creator of Go-Go? Or
not
Chuck Brown?
No, Chuck Brown is officially the creator of the percussive interlude. Although he didn't play it with his hands.
Right. So it's also a musical term.
Yep, a musical genre of its own now.
But that started in DC then.
Correct.
And you call it Go-Go. Also a gathering of community, which I think is an interesting way.
Right. But as a way to make sure that in that period after disco, that people would stay on the dance floor at live shows, local shows between songs. People tend to sit down, go get a drink or leave. And Chuck was looking for a way to keep them dancing, to remove the chairs so nobody would stop. So he kept the drummer playing while he talked to people.
Oh, how fascinating. That was very practical, too.
Extremely. and who knew? Look, they've been dancing and partying in D.C. ever since.
Oh, ever since, that's for sure. Thomas Sayers Ellis, he's been published in the biggest and the best, the Paris Review, the Best American Poetry. I want to know about, you had this Guggenheim, which is like, oh my gosh, it's the creme de la creme. And were you surprised when you got it? What did you propose to do?
And the odd thing about it is I was taking an Amtrak from Washington, D.C. to Missoula, Montana, when I found out. I got off the Amtrak in Whitefish, Montana.
Oh, my.
And I checked. Yes. And I checked my email with the notification. And it was too good to believe. I didn't believe it. So I didn't get happy yet. But in a few days, I knew it was true.
Whitefish will be forever in your mind.
Forever. Just that morning in Whitefish. And I knew that when I got it, that I was going to sink it into starting Heroes of Gang Leaders and working on a memoir to say some things about the oddest accidental and aimed events in my life, even though I'm totally against memoirs at such an early age. But I thought I'd give it a shot, and I'm almost done.
Well, this book, Crank-Shaped Notes, is very much a memoir in a way, anecdotally.
True.
And you use the city as a person, as an identity. But there's definitely Thomas Sayers Ellis in every line.
Yeah.
How is a memoir different?
Exactly. I think the memoir is different because it sort of picks up where my life as a university person begins. And Crank sort of ends where my life as a university person begins.
Oh, okay. And so from the university. From the university, that's your professional career onward. And correct. I have always known you from Heroes or Gang Leaders. And then I'd get these marvelous postcards in the mail with your photographs. You've just absolutely taken over every genre of communication there is. Verbal, music, cowbell, photographs, film. But what I haven't seen you do any films lately.
It's funny. It's the oddest thing. That's what I was originally trained to do, cinema. It seemed at first too collaborative to start out. I didn't want to be a young filmmaker. I was a projectionist at the Harvard Film Archive for years. I was Spike Lee's teaching assistant when he worked at the African-American Studies Department at Harvard. I was trained to be visual environmental studies, a filmmaker, but I thought I didn't want to make any of the young filmmaker mistakes. So I would wait until I was perhaps, if I could plan such, I would wait until I was the grand older guy like Bergman or Fellini or one of those guys, and it would be the last thing that I would do.
So maybe, it may be.
We're hoarding all the images for such.
So this is going to be your final act, film. Fellini, okay. Let us have a final poem, please, from Crank-Shaped Notes.
The end of our village. One of those days when the sunlight and the light behind it, the daylight, were rubbing against each other in the sky, like an atmospheric slow song between two different gears of crank, creating the kind of heat, a soulless humidity that was white. I would have preferred the yellow light of African or Brazilian cinema, but the glass between us and the heavens, or crystalline canopy, or whatever they were calling it this epoch, was more in the mood of a magnifying glass. One of those days when the buildings sweated glare, neither wet or dry, just bright, miracle blinding, home-going light. One of those blinding days when the parts of the shade known for disciplining August was light-skinned. One of those days I decided to walk, camera walk, from the D.C. Wharf in Southwest through Federal Downtown to the bottom of Shaw. A funeral day, the kind of day, a day named and given a date by an emperor, Constantine, the adjuster of the Julian calendar to its current Gregorian form. This is how they mark it. This is how they write it. This is how they say it. May 31st, 2012. A day carrying Bibles beyond the goodbye. A day God gets a piece of its body back. A day when the parts of a huge departure are broken into the spare parts of smaller departures. Because I once knew the city intimately, I could see through the mascara of unfinished plans, even as their instruments of construction made a music capable of placing tombstones with windows in them around our neighborhoods. I could smell the embalming fluid of money turning itself into a trendy street drug, often enough to make their businesses and buildings last. Gone were the elders who used to sit in windows and watch us challenge each other as we busted up summer. Gone were the empty lots of car bodies that looked like their metal and rubber organs had been harvested. Sharp suit, hat, shades, cigar. Gone were the men who stood on corners just talking to each other. Men who leaned against cars and creased their pants with knives of heat. There was a difference between slacks and debonettes, but the ability to know the difference was gone too. Gone were the stores and shops that looked like they were owned by people they knew. Gone was the constant street chatter of a familiar accent and slang. Gone.
A day God gets a piece of his body back. The voice of Thomas Sayers Ellis. This is the Poet and the Poem from the Library of Congress. That was the voice of Thomas Sayers Ellis. The program is produced by Forest Woods Media Productions, post-production by Mike Turpin, MET Studios. We wish to thank the Library of Congress for making the program possible. Funding is provided by the Rivada Foundation of the Logan Family and the Sinipid Fund. I'm Grace Cavalieri. Our engineer is Mike Turpin.
Lord and Chuck up.
Chuck so country.
Cost more to see a reformed Chuck than a pair of toe-guarded ex-Converse Chucks. Women love a cool sweaty Chuck Bama. Mama and show. Shout like Lotto when Chuck socket.
Rumors of a Chuck mural, a Chuck park.
Chuck jacket. Chocolate City, chocolate Chucks by Chucky Thompson. Winner Chuck Winnebago. A drama cruise for two to Chuck Levins with Chucky Burwell and Boo. Junk love Chuck. Chuck all a bucket got. When a week in Brad's trumpet bag, touchery sweet grown ass grown in sexy keys, them play better in Chuck's. Wet Chuck roaches, not the dry ones. Chuck left Rio. Chuck, give him a bridge. Chuck, give him a shank, but no gym shoe deal. Don't give a Chuck how many times you saw Chuck.
More bright, mighty mo, shorter moments in Chucks.
Did push-ups, Chuck gave thanks.